I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Borough Supervisor compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act has provided date, time, and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers, published the same in the Asbury Park Press, the official newspaper, filed notice with the borough clerk and posted notice on the bulletin board in the borough offices and on the borough website as well. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. We have a roll call, please.
Mr. Cashmore?
Here.
Mr. Cunningham?
Here.
Mr. Giulio?
Here.
Mr. DeSeo? Councilman Lexie?
Here.
Mayor Long?
Here.
Mr. Knott? Mr. Smith?
Yes, here.
Mr. McGinley? Ms. Bills?
Here.
Ms. Ray?
Here.
On to minutes from 8:19. Any discussion?
Can we just ask?
October 8th.
Jim, is there someone down there for the door?
It should be open on that. I forgot that I said it. Maybe it's open on that.
Okay, because it was and then it shut again. But it should be fine now?
It should be fine now.
Okay, good. All right, thanks.
Mark, I entered after you. I saw you go down.
Yeah, but then it locked again.
Oh, it did. Because I got in.
Oh, you didn't.
Maybe you said three people were.
I can go check again, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not going to say that.
It's an open public meeting, but the door's open. It is an open public meeting. We're trying to have an open public meeting.
It may not be open.
On to the application MMJD.
I don't think we approved permits.
Oh,
I think
oh,
we got
okay. Sorry.
Interrupted.
Discussion or a motion on the minutes from October 8th, 19th.
I'll make that.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Cashmore. Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Giulio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexie?
Yes.
And Ms. Bills?
Yes.
Once again, moving along to MMJD Properties LLC number 2, 26 Beach Street, Block 10, Lot 21. Major subdivision.
It's a technical major because it, under our ordinance, it becomes a major because it needs variances.
Okay. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is Kevin Kennedy, and I'm here tonight on behalf of MMJD Properties seeking a subdivision. I thank you for coming out on this apparently very frigid evening. Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen, many of you will recall that we were previously before you, I think it was in January of 2019, seeking subdivision approval with the number of variances. That application was ultimately denied. I was here, and as I recall, there were a number of questions and comments and concerns. And at least my notes suggested that some of the more prevalent concerns were a lack of sufficient professional planning testimony presented, and there were a number of questions regarding the bulk variances associated with the proposed homes. Certainly there were other questions and comments and concerns and objections, but those at least were my, from my notes and my recollection, some of the more prevalent concerns. My client has heard, my client's representative has heard those questions and comments and concerns and has submitted a new application for which we are here tonight. And we are seeking subdivision. Again, it's the same size properties, but the application has been substantially modified so as to eliminate all of the variances associated with the proposed homes. So we're seeking a subdivision tonight to create to subdivide existing lot 21 into two lots, 21.01 and 21.02. Each will be used for single-family purposes, as is permitted in the zone, and the lot area will be 1,688 square feet for each lot, and that is what triggers the variance. 1,800 square feet is required in the zone, and we are proposing 1,688 square feet for each lot. We hope that the revisions will be sufficient to address your concerns. I have two witnesses tonight. I anticipate having two witnesses, Craig Grant, who is the member of the MMJD properties, and we also have Mr. Jim Higgins, James Higgins, planner. So, Mr. Chairman, if you consent, I'll call my first witness.
Just before we start, we actually, the applicant did appear August 27th, 2018. At that time, we accepted jurisdiction, reviewed the notices, etc. I marked as A1 the jurisdictional packet, A2 the minor subdivision plan prepared by Charles Sumant, dated 5/5/19. I marked as B1 the report from the board engineer David Hoder, dated 8/16/19. And tonight I just marked as B2 the resolution of denial of the initial application that Mr. Kennedy just described. That resolution dated 2/26/19. And again, this matter had been carried several times. Each time it was announced with no, that it would be carried with no further notice being required.
Okay, thank you. That having been said, I'd like to call Craig Grant.
Let's see. Anyone want to raise your right hand? You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you just say your name and spell your last name for the record?
Craig Grant, G-R-A-N-T.
All right, good evening, Mr. Grant. And just for the record, let's do some of the get some of the procedural information out of the way. We're talking about 26 Beach Street, Lot 10, Lot 21. And for the record, who or which entity is the owner of that property?
MMJD Properties LLC is the legal owner, of which I am a 80% member. My other two children are the 10%.
And MMJD is a limited liability company of the, I'm sorry, of the state of New Jersey, correct?
Yes.
And are you, as 80% member, authorized to speak on behalf of the LLC?
Yes.
For the record, how long has MMJD owned the property, roughly?
25 months.
And so about since October, September 2017?
Yes.
My notes reflect that the property is in the R3 zone. Is that correct to your knowledge?
Yes.
And currently, my records reflect, and we'll have Mr. Higgins confirm this, but right now the lot is 3,376 square feet, give or take?
Yes.
Okay. And with the record, with regard to the 1,800 square foot is required in the lot, so it's an oversized lot. What currently exists on the subject lot today as we are here tonight?
One very old single family purpose house.
Okay. And it, again, it's been historically occupied?
Yes.
Do you, as a representative of the owning entity, have any observations about before you do this, why don't you talk about the condition of the existing home? What's it look like, or what are the conditions?
Well, it gets a CO for, in that it's habitable, but it is 95 years old, the foundation is crumbling, and it's not raised, so it's at ground level, so it's seen a lot of seepage over the years. So the foundation is crumbling, the windows are almost non-functional, and it's crumbling. I wasn't able to get a CO last month until I made some structural repairs, which I did, and got the CO. So it's in a state of...
And how old would you say, roughly?
I think it was built in 1926, so 94 years old.
And just for the record, you referenced this earlier, but is the existing house structure FEMA compliant?
No, it's not raised.
So it's not elevated?
No, and there's no flood control.
Flood vents?
No, no flood vents.
What about, can you tell the board about some observations about the location and orientation of the existing structure on the lot?
Well, it sits to the extreme east side in that it's inches away from the neighbor's property. Why it's there, I don't know, but it is, as I said, extremely placed on the east side of the property line, such that my eaves are over the neighbor's eaves. And there's, again, inches between it and the back fence, the back property line as well.
So clearly the existing home is not constructed in the middle of the lot?
No.
And I think, just for the record, my review of the plans indicated that I believe the existing structure is a mere 0.9 feet off of the side yard?
Yes.
And I think it's about 0.3 feet no. off of the rear yard?
Correct. Not 3 feet, 0.3.
I'm sorry, 0.3.
Foot, right.
So, very small distance. Now, your proposal tonight is to demolish the existing structure and subdivide, correct?
Yes.
And each lot, if this application is approved, will ultimately host a single-family home?
Yes.
Okay. Now, for the record, because I made some statements in my opening, and I think you need to confirm them, since you're the fact witness. I had indicated that if this subdivision is approved, the homes that you will construct or have constructed will comply with all bulk variances, obviously not the lot area, but the structure.
That's correct. I'm asking for a variance on the lot size, but nothing with regard to the future homes there. They'd be totally compliant.
So they're going to comply with the height?
The height, the width, the depth.
Rear yard, set yard, side yard, correct. Coverage. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions for the witness at this time.
Would that be a condition of approval that if he cannot build two conforming houses, that the subdivision is voided?
Conforming plus the 100 square foot?
Right.
The homes to conform.
Well, I mean, they just told us that
they can't conform.
They can't conform.
Well, they cannot conform with the one variance we're asking for tonight, right. But other than that, will they conform with no variances whatsoever?
Nope. Other than the lot variance for each lot, we are not seeking and will not seek any dimensional variances for the structures to be.
So the subdivision would be voided if you needed to come back for any variances?
I don't know if it's voided, but clearly no building permits and zoning permits would issue. Absolutely.
You could deed restrict it.
You'd have to deed restrict it, yeah.
You have an outline on the plot plan here.
Yes.
That shows the physical size of the house and setbacks and so forth.
Yes.
And that's all conforming.
Yes, and Mr. Grant, I think that you make the board members ask a very important question. We've spoken about this, and you've spoken with your architect, and spoken with your planner, and you've spoken with Mr. Sermon about this. I mean, everyone knows that the bulk dimensional variances appear to have been a big deal for some of the board members.
On the homes.
On the homes,
correct. Yes, yes.
And you recognize that if this application is approved, you can only build these homes if they are compliant with the dimensional requirements.
I understand that, yes.
Okay. Well, my next question, can you not build a conforming house on this property as it is currently?
Yes, that can be done.
So why do you need the variance relief if you can build a conforming house now? I mean, what is the reasons for the variance relief?
Well, we have a planner to address some of those questions, if you could hold that question.
Well, but I think that's actually, he needs to answer that.
I think he should answer it.
Yeah, so the question is, it might not have been, is that why not build one conforming house on the one lot, on the lot, rather than subdivide it?
I actually think two homes would be more consistent with what is currently there. The 50-foot frontage being divided by 25 gives me almost identical property, two property sizes identical to which is already there on that side of the street.
You mean the neighborhood?
I'm sorry?
In that neighborhood.
On that side of the street, in that neighborhood, it's consistent with every other lot size already there. So building two homes is actually more consistent with the neighborhood conformity than the...
Yeah, but that's not an answer. Because the question at the previous hearing, that is memorializing the resolution, you acknowledged that you wanted to do this for financial reasons.
No, I said...
No, it's not, you did say that because you answered my question.
That was not my single purpose. I'd like to build a home to eventually retire here. This is where I grew up. I'd like to build one, and I wanted to have another one for my kids.
All right, and I'd like to put in for the record, it is in the record, it is in the resolution that you did acknowledge at the last meeting that you were doing this for financial reasons. As memorialized in the resolution, which was never appealed.
That is not our testimony tonight.
Okay, so his reason...
That was not a singular purpose. I think there were sentences before and after that.
So in other words, that was a consideration of yours, but it wasn't, you're saying it wasn't your sole consideration?
No, not at all.
So your considerations are financial and you want a home to retire in and a home to give to your kids?
Yes.
Those are your reasons?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions from the board? For anyone in the public that has a question of the witness's testimony? If not, public portion is closed. You have another witness, you say?
I do, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to call Mr.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Good day.
Good evening.
Mr. Higgins, sorry. Solemnly swear a testimony you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You can just state your name for the record.
James W. Higgins, H-I-G-G-I-N-S.
And once again, for the record, we are not a...
You are a...
That we know
planner.
Not that we know of, yes.
You're a planner, Mr. Higgins.
Yes, I'm a licensed professional planner in the state. I've been licensed for about 40 years. And I've been recognized for this board on a number of
occasions. And without objection from any of the board members, we will continue to accept your credentials.
Thank you. Mr. Higgins, just for the record, you're familiar with the property in question, correct?
That's correct. I've been to the property in question on a number of occasions. I've reviewed the application. I looked at zoning ordinance and looked at the area within which the site is located, and also looking at tax maps.
Okay, and you were here for the record, for the testimony of Mr. Grant, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Instead of me asking a lot of questions, do you have any observations as a professional planner about this subdivision and the nature of this subdivision and how it will interact and impact and affect and fit in with the community?
Yes, I do. The application is to take a 3,376 square foot lot, remove the existing non-conforming dwelling that exists on that lot, and create two lots of 1,688 square feet, and build conforming dwellings on each of those two lots. That will conform to your zoning, also conform to FEMA standards as far as elevating the living area on the houses, and would conform to all other bulk requirements of your ordinance. The site is 3,376 square feet. It does have the existing non-conforming single-family residence on it. That residence violates the side yard setback, front yard setback, and rear yard setback on the site. The surrounding land uses in the site are predominantly single-family residences, most of which are on developed lots of approximately the same size that the applicant is proposing. And residences on many of those lots, well, I can go out and actually measure the distances to the front and side and rear yard setbacks very clearly by looking at the area. Many of those residences are non-conforming with regard to particularly side yard setbacks. The subdivision requires bulk variances for each of the lots, for lot area. The ordinance requires 1,800 square feet, and the resulting lots in this subdivision would be 1,688 square feet. So it's 112 square feet short on each lot. And the reason for that is that the lots conform with regard to width, and they also conform with regard to depth, but they don't have the necessary depth that would bring them up that additional 112 feet. That would be about another 4.5-5 feet that would be required in depth in order to get the required lot area. I think there's substantial positive reasons for the granting of variance. For one thing, I think that there's an element of C1 hardship involved with the application because of the fact that the lots do not have the necessary depth, despite the fact that they have the necessary lot width. They don't have the necessary depth to allow for the 1,800 square foot minimum lot size that the ordinance requires. But more importantly, I think there's C2, a number of reasons that didn't qualify under the C2 variance, where the purposes of the municipal land use law are advanced by the granting of the variances. And the reasons for that are, first of all, to encourage the purposes of municipal land use law. One of them is to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. And another purpose is to secure safety from fire, flood, panic, and other natural and man-made disasters. And in this instance, I think this application does advance both of those purposes of municipal land use law. The existing residence has the floor area on the first, on the lower level. It's not raised. There's no requirement that would require that existing residence to be raised to the level that FEMA requires. So that by allowing this subdivision and giving the incentive for this applicant to build two houses, where there is now one, two houses that are elevated and are fully compliant to FEMA requirements, I think substantially advances that promotes the public health and safety, and also secures safety from flood and panic and other natural disasters, particularly flooding. So I think that's a very compelling reason. In addition, the proposed development removes the existing residence on the site and proposes the living areas, again, that are raised so that it eliminates the existing safety hazard. So I think that's two purposes of the land use law that are significantly advanced by this application. Another purpose of the municipal land use law is to provide for adequate light, air, and open space. And the existing building on the site violates minimum side, rear, and front yard setbacks. The proposed buildings on the site will meet all of the requirements of your ordinance in terms of setbacks, in terms of lot coverage. So it would be a much better situation in terms of light, air, and open space than what currently exists. Furthermore, with this lot, you could construct a fully conforming house on this lot. Mr. Lexstein asked that question earlier at the applicant. That house could be 44 feet wide. It's a 50-foot wide lot with 3-foot setback on either side, so it could be 44 feet wide. And in order to comply with the lot coverage requirement, it could be 47.5 feet deep. That would give you, on the entire lot, as you're standing on the street looking at the lot, you would have a total of 6 feet of open space on that 50-foot wide lot that you're looking at, 3 feet on either side. This application is proposing two dwellings with 3.3 feet on the east side of the parcel, 3.3 feet on the west side of the parcel, and 6.3 feet in the middle of the parcel. So you would have a total of 13.2 feet of open space when you're standing on the street looking at this parcel, as opposed to one very large, completely uncharacteristic house that does not comply, is not consistent with any of the other houses in this immediate neighborhood. So in terms of light, air, and open space, I think there's a significant benefit in terms of being an improvement over the existing situation and something better than what could be constructed as of right on this site, on this lot, as it exists now. The other purpose I think that's advanced by the municipal land use law is to promote the establishment of appropriate population densities and concentrations. And in this instance, the zoning ordinance establishes that the appropriate population density in the R3 zone is 24.2 units per acre. The existing density on this site is 12.9 units per acre, which is about half of what the ordinance anticipates. The proposed density that the applicant is proposing, and while this is not a density variance because it's a minor subdivision, but this is just for comparison, is much closer to the density that the ordinance it recommends for the building, which is, would be 25.8 units per acre as opposed to 24.2. So that would bring the site more into conformity with the anticipated density of the ordinance. More importantly, it brings it more into conformity with the existing density of most of the dwellings and lots in this zone. Most of the dwellings and lots in this zone are the size that the applicant is proposing, or within a couple feet of the size, a couple square feet of the size that the applicant is proposing. So the density that's being proposed is consistent with the character of the area. One of the purposes of the municipal land use law is that it requires zoning to give reasonable consideration to the character of the area. And clearly, this subdivision will give reasonable consideration to the character of the area, because the lots that are being created are the exact same size of most of the other lots on the same side of Beach, and within a couple of square feet of most of the lots on the opposite side of Beach. So it's clearly consistent with the intent of the municipal land use law as far as creating zoning that is consistent, reasonable consideration of the character of an area. And finally, another purpose of the municipal land use law is to encourage coordination of the various public and private procedures and activities shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development and to the more efficient use of land. And clearly, taking a lot that has a density that's approximately half of what is provided for in your ordinance in the zone, and providing for two lots that could create a density that is much not only consistent, more consistent with the density permitted in the zone, but is absolutely consistent with the density of most of the other lots in the zone, is a more efficient use of the land than what's currently there now. So when I look at those, all of those, I think that there are substantial positive reasons for the granting of the variance. I don't see any substantial negative impact. The proposed lots are consistent with the character of the area. They will have the same appearance of the other houses in this immediate area, with the exception that they will have conforming and slightly better than conforming side lot lines, side yards. They will be fully conforming front yards, fully conforming rear yards. The height's conforming, the lot coverage is conforming. So that there is no substantial negative impact, in my opinion. And in fact, this proposed development is more consistent with the surrounding area than what could be constructed on this lot, which would be, again, a 40-foot wide house that's 47 feet deep and is on a 50-foot lot when the vast majority of lots in this zone are constructed. So when I look at that, I think that there are C1 considerations as far as hardship. I think there are compelling C2 considerations in terms of the benefits, in terms of promoting the purposes of the land use law, and I don't see any substantial negative impacts.
You know what, Mr. Higgins, could I just officially mark this into the record, this tax amendment?
Sure.
Carrie, I believe we're at 8-3.
And what is it?
It's a copy of the tax map, and I'm just gonna have a bunch of copies here, and with our lot highlighted by my office. So as that document is making its way around, could you sort of just I guess reiterate if you believe that the subdivision will fit in, or will this fit in, or will it going to be out of scale, dramatically out of scale?
No, I think it would be perfectly in scale with what exists in this area. If you look at the same side of the street, you got 13 of the 15 lots that are on the south side of Beach Street are the same size as are being proposed by the applicant. One of the two lots that's not is the applicant's parcel, the subject of the application, and then the other that's not is a slightly larger lot that is actually on the bulkhead fronting on the river there. So, and then if you look at the other side, you have 5 of the lots are similar to or smaller than the gap lots the applicant's proposing. on Beach Street. So it's completely consistent with the character of this area and with the way it's developed over the years.
And I know you had testified about the positive features of being FEMA compliant, and clearly if the application is approved, we would comply with all, as a condition, we would comply with all prevailing FEMA and flood regulations?
Yes.
And in your...
We would have to.
Yes. Even if we didn't want to, but we would. And in your opinion as a professional planner, is there a legitimate state or municipal interest in approving applications where homes are better able to protect against what appears to be more frequent tidal surges?
Very definitely. Clearly, the FEMA regulations are in response to Superstorm Sandy and the potential for other events happening in the future. And again, as I said, the subdivision and the construction of two new fully FEMA-conforming houses will advance the purposes of the municipal land use law with regard to promoting the general welfare and promoting public safety.
And the councilman asked a very relevant and very important question, and it's a fair question, about why not just build one single-family home, and I know you addressed that, but is it your testimony that actually the one conforming single-family home could have more of an impact, adverse impact, on the neighborhood and be actually more inconsistent with the neighborhood?
It would be more inconsistent with the neighborhood. It would not, would, again, would have only a total of 6 feet of open space in terms of side yard setbacks, whereas if you have the two houses as proposed here, you would have more than double that. You would have 13.2 feet.
And basic.
So I think substantially in terms of aesthetics, in terms of light air and open space, what's being proposed here is a far superior planning alternative.
And what about in terms of, we talked about, well, in your opinion, to wrap this up, if this application is approved and we got we received the two lot variances, lot size variances, and built conforming homes, would those two conforming single family homes that we were looking to build, would they overpower, overwhelm the lot in the neighborhood?
No, they would fit right in very nicely with the neighborhood. They would be very consistent.
And last question. If this application is approved, subject to the testimony we provided and the conditions that we proposed, do you have an opinion as to whether or not this application represents a better zoning alternative?
It's a far superior zoning alternative, in my opinion, both to what exists now on the site and to what could be constructed on the site as of right. You've got to understand that your ordinance allows a minimum 3 yard back a minimum 3 yard side yard, 3 foot side yard setback. And that's really geared towards the 25 foot lots. You have a 50 foot lot here, at which a 44 foot wide house with a 3 foot side yard setback on either side is much more visually imposing than a 19 foot wide house on a 25 foot wide lot.
Good. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions for the witness at this time.
I have a question because if you, and I'm not good at math, so Dave or somebody else will do this. So to build a conforming home, meaning the side yard setbacks, and just I think you have to build an 18.4 foot wide home, I think, given the setbacks.
Well, it's 3 feet, 3 feet minus.
Well, total 6.6, I think, is the combined side yard, isn't it? Or is it, no, it's
so,
just...
So it's a,
but inside the ordinance is three, so they can go to...
Okay.
Yeah, they can go to three, and that's the one correction I wanted to make.
Okay, so 19 foot. Right, 19 foot. And then, so you need a 40-foot long house, right? 19 by 40? In order to meet the rear yard setback is 15 feet, and the front yard is 5? Then it's a 60-foot lot.
67.5.
So whatever that is. But now... Are you going to meet the 50% building coverage if you build that way?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
How do you then meet the 50? You'd be over 50% building coverage if you built to your setbacks, wouldn't you? The 3 feet, and then...
Yeah, that's why what's proposed here is something different than that. There's a plan for the house.
No, there's nothing proposed for the house. Yeah, you were saying that that, you know, what he could build as right, as a right, you know, would be that. I don't know that that's right, just because you still have a 50-foot lot building coverage maximum.
50%.
I mean, 50%, not yet, not 50%, thank you.
Building 50% building coverage of 1688 is 844.
Right. Is that equal to what
so,
houses?
So if you take the length and width, the length and width is
19.
Wait a minute. So 19, I didn't do that one right. 19, and what's the depth? The depth is 15 and 5, so it's 20 minus 57. Are they all the same? So 47, 37.
Yeah. I believe I calculated that based on the building coverage, but I don't have my calculations here, so.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. I'll just pick out my iPhone and make sure I'm right.
That's right.
Well, I did mine, but obviously I did it wrong, so. I went to law school, not engineering.
I mean, it's somewhere around 720 square feet.
Okay.
So
the maximum
it's less.
Size house would be about 720
right, square right.
feet.
Right, right. It's less, but it's not hugely less.
Right. So a little bit less than 720 square feet.
Yeah.
Per home.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And those lots would be then deed restricted. I just wanted that out so that the applicant stipulated he would deed restrict the lots to be a conforming home. I just want everybody to know what those conforming homes would be, that's all. And that's fine, we're good. I just want to make sure it could be what it was. So,
and what I was going to say is the only comment I had, Mr. Higgins provided good testimony for his applicant. But he did say 3.3,
yeah, 3. It's 3 feet, yeah.
So for light, air, and open space, really is 12,
right? Right. Yeah, I was looking at an older plan that had 3.3, right?
Right.
What's the minimum square footage for living space to move?
Oh, it was 800 square feet.
I think it is. That's why
Well, it might be that the applicant has to ask for that variance.
See, that's it. Because I think that's where I was going with my very bad math, is that I think the maximum sized house that you could build if you met the setbacks is 720, but I think our minimum that is permitted is 800.
Yeah,
800 on the first floor.
800
total. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a little more. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, I just have to go to the ordinance. Give me a second. Please continue while I look.
Yeah, his eyes are better than mine. I'll let him do it because I could barely. I was looking at the tax map and I could barely read the.
Sorry, we're talking about a conforming house on the lot as it exists.
No.
This is one.
Right.
The
ones that they were suggesting.
Yes. Yeah, because they were stipulating that they would build conforming homes.
Right.
I just want to make sure that that's a mathematical. That's a mathematical possibility. Yes. Any other questions?
Mr. Higgins, I have a couple questions when you get a chance. When you have it's hard to read on my plot plan, but I think the existing home is 0.9 feet off the property line, and in the back, it's, I don't see the exact dimension, but it's not more than a few feet off the back. So the existing house is quite non-conforming. Do you have the total square footage of lot that's covered by the existing structure?
The total square footage of the existing structure?
By the existing structure.
No, I don't. And I'll see if it's here on the engineering plan that I have. No, it's not.
It is the square footage.
All I can move on. I'm just trying to get comparison to how much the two...
Our architect is here, Mr. Cashmore, and he's going to be looking for that answer.
All right, I have a couple other questions, because you have your two new single for one family home, which we determined would be about 700 and somewhat square foot footprint per building on each lot.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how that compares to the existing structure. And then what I've done, if we didn't grant the subdivision and the owner decided to build one full-size home, what I've done, where you show your setback lines, a 15-foot setback, 3 foot on either side, basically if you draw a line across the front of those and fill in a 10 or 6 foot area, that would be the potential structure that would be built on the property, potential conforming structure.
That's right, a conforming structure. I do want to correct my direct testimony. The fully constructed structure, taking into account lot coverage, would be 44 feet wide and a little over 38 feet deep, not 47 feet deep.
Okay, 38 feet. So that would be a substantially larger structure than if we granted the subdivision and allowed the two smaller homes, one on each lot.
That's true.
So that's where you're saying you'll have greater open air, less lot coverage,
yes,
more open space.
You could have a little bit less lot coverage because the probably could have the same lot coverage.
About the same.
No, because you're
but the setbacks.
That home, in other words, this area, on a new home in the middle, would be all covered by structure where now it's open.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right, but your lot's bigger too, so the percentage is
going to be... I'm not going by percentage. I think what some people are opposed to is the size of the structure and how much of the ground is covered. So if you don't grant the subdivision, you're covering more ground, you have less light and open space, and you're actually exacerbating the concerns and not leaving or leading them. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you can give me the other answer. I'm just curious as to how the new one conforms to the existing, compared to the existing.
That's a good question.
The new what?
How the two new the square foot of lot coverage of the two new proposed structures compared to the lot coverage of the existing structure. That's good.
I don't think you said that.
No, I thought it was looking for it.
The architect was, I imagine it's a much lesser lot coverage because it's one home on a very big home.
Do you want me to have the architect's square so we can answer the question?
The third alternative is that the existing home, if the applicant weren't to prevail, he could just very well sell the property as is and sell it to renovate that existing home. You might not have accomplished anything.
Right.
You know, or the owner or the applicant could renovate the existing home and your 9/10 foot off of the one side yard and only a few feet off the rear side yard. Yeah, and that could be, that is a third alternative.
The existing home is clearly non-conforming.
Right, so.
And hangs over onto the adjacent property in some ways.
Mr. Chairman, the answer to the question on the gross square footage, it says minimum GFA total square feet in the R3 zone is 880. So it's higher than we thought, but I read that as being any of the floors, total
right.
GFA.
Oh,
okay. So, yeah, well,
total,
minimum GFA, total, it says
right.
Total. So right. It's got to be more than one floor.
If you go two floors.
Two floors.
Yeah, so that he can make it. That's, if he needs to, he can make it. So
good.
That's not a variance.
Perfect. Do you want me to have Mr. Reagan sworn to answer Mr. Cashmore's question?
On the square footage versus the old,
building? Yes, versus the two new subdivided lots with the...
You can just sit next to Mr. Higgins here. I'm going to raise your right hand. Solemn swear testimony you're about to give is truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
And you can just state your name and spell your last name.
Jeremiah James Regan, R-E-G-A-N. I'm a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey.
And you have testified before this board many times.
Many times.
And without any objection from board members?
All right, thank you. Mr. Reagan, you're familiar with the site and the application, correct?
Yes.
And I think you testified at the early version. In any way, could you answer the question about the square footage?
Does this have to be?
Is that already marked? Is that different?
That was the plan from the round one, so it is not.
Yes.
The application was denied.
Right, so I should mark that.
Okay, why don't you just identify what you're looking at?
I'm looking at the zoning chart that I prepared.
Well, what is the whole document?
It's a set of presentation plans for the previous application.
Why don't you bring it up so I can just get the what it's called? It's going to be A4. Okay, and these are architectural plans. Architectural plans. Three sheets by Jeremiah Regan, dated 4/5/18, and revised to 1/8/19. They're like the opposite. 1/8/19 and 9/1/18. No, that's right. Yes. Well, all right. 9/1/18 and the last one is 1/8/19. Okay. It was a very good day. Okay.
And Mr. Regan, just for the record, the plans that were just marked in A4, those were plans that were submitted in conjunction with the first application, which was denied.
Yes, they were.
And that they are not submitted tonight for purposes of showing what's proposed.
No.
Because we are not. Okay.
You're just using them to determine your square footage.
Square footage.
Okay.
Of the existing structure. Yes.
And how did we do with that?
Susie,
how did you do with that? Did you figure it out yet?
Well, I have on the chart the building coverage of the existing structure.
Perfect.
Does that include decks and so forth?
Well, I'll get to that. The total building coverage would be 1446. And that also includes a front porch. So the actual square footage of the first floor of the house would be slightly less than that, probably about 1200.
Be what?
You're looking over 1,200.
Sure, but I'm looking at, you have the covered porch in the front, then you have the wood deck in the back.
There's no wood deck in the back.
Your building coverage.
This plan says wood deck.
Right. So your building coverage of the existing is 14%?
Yes.
Okay, 14.46.
Well, 1446 square feet.
Oh.
It would be 42.83%.
42.83%.
Yes, that's existing.
Existing.
Yes.
Now, what did you have as a square footage?
I didn't calculate the square footage of the house, of the living space.
The max footprint they could be is 720, roughly.
720.
That's
so
just
that's
the footprint, 40, right?
So that's 1440 square foot. Lock coverage.
Right.
It's a lock.
Okay.
It's a lock.
So it's about the same.
Right. So the lot coverage of the existing structure is 1446 square feet, and the permissible building space on the subdivided lots is 1,440 square feet, and no, 720 on each lot for a total of 1,440 square feet. So it's near identical to the existing structure. When the two new structures are built as far as footprint on the ground goes. Now, if you built the fully conforming structure, how many square foot of lot coverage did you say that was?
A fully conforming structure?
If you filled in that middle with a single lot and a fully conforming structure would be built on a single lot.
It would be.
You would have to add 6 foot. You'd fill in that 6 foot area in between the two.
Approximately a little less than 1,700 square feet.
About 1,700 square feet.
A little bit less than that.
I'm looking at unintended consequences. If the board, if we weren't to approve this subdivision, you would have a single structure allowing less light, air, and space, 1,700 square foot. If we approve this application, then you have two separate houses that will cover 1,440 square foot, and if you remodel the existing structure, you would have a total lot coverage of 1,446 square foot, but none of the setbacks would be conforming. And those are basically your three scenarios, so we just have to be careful when we deny this application of the unintended consequences, which would either be the old non-conforming side yard setback being renovated, cleaned up, and used, or having a much larger structure that is covering more lot area than your two separate houses if we grant the subdivision. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Can I just get clarification? You're correct, Steve.
Yeah, that's right.
Can
I get clarification as to the wood deck? Because the plot plan shows that there's a one-story in the back and then there's a wood deck. That's on the plan. Does it exist? Does it not exist?
I'm sorry. Maybe that's for Mr. Grant. There was a question about the plot plan shows
the current deck.
Yeah, it's showing currently that there's a wood deck in the back.
There's a wood deck on the back building is one story, where the front of the house is two stories. The wooden deck is on top of the first floor.
So it's an elevated wood deck. It's not on the ground.
It's not on the ground. It's on top of the floor. It's on top of the roof.
Okay.
But there are stairs that are coming down.
There are stairs.
And that's what's shown on the
screen. That's what's showing.
Oh, so the stairs are down to the ground.
Is there also some kind of patio below that? Because there's another line on the plan.
Yes, there's some wood, a wooden patio.
So there is a wooden deck on grade. There's a wooden platform on grade.
Yes.
Which is not a deck.
Correct.
It's not above 2 feet.
Correct. I'm just curious. I mean, it's not even below those. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify.
Those lines are on the plan.
Yeah, they're there, so I just want to make sure the plans are accurate.
But it does increase the square footage of the lot coverage.
Well, the question is, for the architect, did you include that deck and stairs in your calculation?
Mm-hmm.
You did.
That's a yes, just for the record.
Well, no, not the deck, because that's not part of it.
Looks like it's the other stairs, yeah. Check stairs around.
Well, anyway, did you include the stairs in your calculation?
Yes.
Did you include the non-elevated deck in your calculation?
I'd have to go back and double check my notes.
Because it's pretty big. It's twice the size of the stairs, maybe three times.
I don't think I did. Probably just the two-story building and the one-story building in the back with essentially a balcony or an elevated deck.
Without calculating, that does make sense because the proposed lot is 1688. He's talking about 1400. So, you know, that rear, that side yard that's there probably counts for that. A couple hundred square feet is not a lot.
Again, I didn't actually care. I just wanted to make sure the plans were accurate. That was always my answer to the question.
You're not approving any structures?
Correct.
No structures.
Or, assuming if you wanted to approve, you would not approve any structures.
I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Board members, do you have questions of the witnesses?
Mr. Higgins, could you remind me what you said about the flood impact or lack of saying when there are two versus one dwelling? I think you talked about, I didn't quite catch what the impervious, I didn't quite catch that, the damage.
I don't think I ever compared dwellings to one conforming dwelling in terms of flood impact.
I see.
I was comparing visual impact and light air and open space.
There was a definite benefit on the flood.
Over what currently exists.
Please, thank you.
You have the existing dwelling, which can stay unless there's another flood event that eliminates it. But otherwise, it can stay the way it is. It could be improved in terms of it's structurally improved. But it could continue to have the living space on ground level rather than having it elevated. What I'm saying is that by allowing the subdivision and giving the applicant the incentive to build two new houses that are elevated and are much safer than the existing residence that has the living space on the floor is a consideration in terms of public health and safety.
As well as conforming.
As well as conforming, yes.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
The only other comments I have, I did do a letter, on the 16th. Some of the normal things, right? If the applicant is successful, then he'll probably wind up breaking up curb and sidewalk. That's going to have to be replaced and have to be bonded with performance bonds. There'll have to be plot plans done. They'll have to get either a CAFRA approval or a letter of no interest.
Affordable hazard requirements.
And if there's any affordable hazard, because that has now changed, right? There was an ordinance that was done within the last 6 months.
Right. So you agree to the items that are set forth in the engineer's letter?
We do.
Why don't we open to the public if there's no other questions from the board? Anyone in the public have a question about the testimony or a statement this evening? If not, the public portion is now closed. Board member discussion or motion?
I had a question for Mr. Kennedy. What is considered, is a financial hardship considered a hardship that we can base? Not financial. Okay. What are?
I'm sorry?
I'll just ask then that question.
Okay.
Right. I'm sure in his closing he'll set forth, but, you know, exceptional topography. I think Mr. Higgins talked, or somebody, one of the witnesses talked about the fact that overall square footage is certainly adequate, but because of the size and shape of the property, that can't meet all of the requirements.
But the continuity of design and continuation of lot size is part of a significant part of your argument, which of course, presentation, that's second.
Okay.
Yes, which I respect to project. So is that all under the hardship category?
What?
Well, lot size.
No, it's not, definitely not hardship.
No.
And they aren't. I mean, that's one aspect of their presentation is hardship. He also went beyond that. He was just indicating that just because of the particular depth of the property, they can't meet the 1688 square foot, I mean, the 1800 square foot on each, even though they can meet the width and the depth. And that's what's weird about all ordinances, but so they meet the width requirement of 25 feet and the depth requirement of 60 feet, but not the overall square footage requirement. So that's that. But yeah, I mean, so there's hardship, and they're indicating that because their depth doesn't give them all that, they can't meet it. But there's then beyond that, beyond the hardship variance here, as Mr. Higgins put forth, the positive and the negative criteria are the reasons that he put forth in the record, which I'm sure Mr. Kennedy will recap.
Anybody else? Motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the subdivision that it's very minor, 112 square feet or whatever it is for a lot. And the end result will be two lots with houses that conform to the street, the neighborhood, and make more sense in the long run than the other two alternatives.
I'll second it. And I would just say that it's interesting because that is a very, the companion facts explain the scenario very well, and I think, as you could have itemized, Steve, as the airspace between the two, and there's some subtleties here that you can easily get lost and undervalued, if you will, if you stick with the conforming aspect of the front. So I appreciate and respect the presentation for I'll second it.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, not to cut in any slow, and I promise in less than 1 minute if I can give my summation, if I could just do it for the record.
Yes, sir.
And I'll start now. Thank you very much. And again, Kerry Higgins just gave a very brief summation.
Cutting into your time.
They lose the vote as well. We're talking about a C1 or C2 variance. C1 is a hardship, or C2 is, they sometimes call it flexible C. And they say, all right, maybe it's not a hardship, and financial is not a hardship. Maybe it's not a hardship, but do the benefits outweigh the detriments? And that's really what we're coming for. So in terms of the continuity of design of homes in the neighborhood, the continuity of lot sizes in the neighborhood, we're not going to, if this application is approved, we're not going to stick out like a sore thumb. We are not going to be inconsistent with in the neighborhood. We are going to have the flood and FEMA improvements. And I think what we also said, and we don't mean this as a threat, but the options, the other scenarios, aren't so great. The existing dwelling is not in good shape. It's not FEMA compliant. It's not appropriately located on the lot, and it's overhanging. Building one conforming single-family home, as was testified to, is not the best alternative. And this is no uncontroverted, no testimony against the application. And I also think, in my last 10 seconds, one of the things we always want to check is, does this application represent a better overall zoning alternative? And we respectfully submit that it does, and I apologize for interfering with the flow of motion in the second.
No, that's fine. I have one question, though.
But this doesn't count on my
minute.
So if this, when the houses come in, I understand there's going to be the deed restriction that they have to completely conform with the ordinance minus the variance that we just gave. You've agreed that all the conditions inside Mr. Hoder's letter, including the fact that there are going to be two off-street parking spaces?
Yes.
The attention, I'm sorry, off-street, yes.
So you have to be two per unit?
Correct.
So yes. There are going to be four off-street parking spaces?
Correct. I heard that.
Presumably a garage that you're going to...
Yes.
No, and just in further, so there obviously was a motion in a second, and as part of the discussion...
You said if you wish.
No. You stated perfectly. I just wanted to recap that Mr. Cashmore really did point out the difference between the existing home and the coverage of the existing coverage if there were two homes versus coverage if they did one home. In terms of square footage, that Mr. Cashmore pointed out there's more open space, and Mr. Higgins did too, but I think Mr. Cashmore gave us the numbers and it made sense. More open space with the proposed subdivision two, and I think Mr. Smith and everybody discussed the fact that you're taking a very non-conforming home, non-conforming to bulk, and as well as non-conforming to FEMA. The new proposed homes, even though you're not approving anything, though, would have to be FEMA compliant. And the applicant is stipulating that they will de-restrict these two lots so that they must be conforming to all bulk requirements. Obviously, the homes must be conforming to bulk requirements. The lots, you're giving the variance for the square footage, which was 100 and some odd feet short. And they'll comply with all FEMA requirements and conform to and comply with the items set forth in Mr. Hoder's letter. And
that was all included in the motion?
Correct.
Any further discussion from the board? We have a motion on the floor. Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Cashmore?
Yes.
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Giuliano?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Bells?
Yes.
Ms. Wright?
Yes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Very much appreciated.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the board for your patience and, on this discussion tonight. Certainly hope that you'll all be pleased.
Good luck.
Thank you all. Our next meeting is on December 10th at 7:30. And that's all we have this evening. Unless there is any additional information from the public, is there anyone in the public that wishes to be heard this evening? Not the public portion is now closed. We need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.
Avenue.
Yeah.